grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Chris Fowley, how are ya?
Good, hey. Kia ora, Johnny.
Helmet, high-vis over there.
Yep, I made it safely through Auckland's downtown traffic. No, it's good. It's good to see all the students back. Welcome back, students.
Yes,
I hope they enjoyed their O-week last week, was it?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
seems to be sort of stretched out.
Well, the O might still be lasting. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing for your student loans. Get yourself a good ounce to start the year for O-week. And, hopefully you've still got some.
You can
but
get,
if not, you don't have to pay for it till later. You know?
Can you get an ounce from the pharmacy if you've got a medical prescription?
You can get a 35 gram bag, I think, is the biggest ones. But you know, your prescription might add up to more than that. Your doctor might prescribe you one of each.
Okay.
Who knows? You know, that's up to you and your doctor to work that out. But to start off with, you might just get one little one, or you might get two or three big ones.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, the world's your oyster. But certainly... we live in a pretty, you know, it's pretty cool, really. A lot of people still unaware. Every day down at the hemp store, both people coming in going, yeah, I've got my license, my prescription, it's awesome, I'm legal. And then also other people completely unaware. And so, you know, you can get a prescription for medical cannabis, which includes buds, from any doctor, including your own, but also there are a bunch of specialist clinics that have opened up. There's about 10 now.
Yes.
At last count. We've got all their details down at the hemp store, but if you just Google cannabis doctor, they all come up.
Okay.
And you get yourself a prescription, get yourself some buds, and you know, if cannabis improves your life, then you're eligible, basically. But if it's not good for you, then it's not good for you.
Yes.
You know, don't try it. But if it is good for you, then you'll know that, and go down and see your doctor or one of these clinics.
Okay. Now, what's been happening in the news, Chris Fowley?
Well, I'm going to lead the news with something that came out just after the show last week, which was that this new nationwide poll showing a majority want cannabis laws relaxed. Not just a majority, but 93%. Boy, oh boy, this was reported in the Northern Age, and so you can find it on the Herald website because they're all part of the same group. So 93% voted in favour of changing the law. Of that, 64% wanted legalisation, 35% for decrim. It's about 2,000 people. It was self-selected, so you got to bear that in mind, that it's people deciding to do it. Mm-hmm. They haven't kind of weighted it and things. But, you know, it's an interesting kind
2,186 people have done the survey, which is a decent size.
They also asked a follow-up question. I was one of them, by the way, because I thought I'd give it a go. They also asked a follow-up question. If it is legalised, should they wipe criminal records for minor cannabis offences? And this is something, you know, very dear to me, even though I don't have a criminal record for cannabis, but it is something that should be wiped because I've seen how it... you know, hangs around people, you know, like a weight around their neck.
Yep.
And even with things like eligibility to get into the legal cannabis industry, you know, you can't be a medical cannabis license holder if you have a cannabis offence, cannabis conviction, for example. So, so they asked them, well, if it is legal, should it be wiped? 89%, 89.9, in fact, said yes, wipe it.
Okay.
And only 7% said no.
All right.
So this, again, you know, this is one of the things that I think could have helped pass that bloody cannabis referendum if it had done some good like that.
Yeah.
If they'd targeted where the taxes were going into putting good things into our communities like they've done in America, so everyone can see those benefits when you're paying for new school classrooms or even paying for an extra police car or whatever it is, you know, and wiping those records and getting those barriers out of the way so that people who are the most harmed can actually take part in it.
There's a line in this article where AUT School of Science deputy head Professor Ali Saif, I don't know how to pronounce that name, but he has said, or they have said, that the referendum was perhaps too rushed and people didn't have long enough to look at the science.
Perhaps. That's Ali Saif Odin at the AUT, and Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, certainly when you look at how they've been done overseas, you normally have medical for a few years first, and then people can see, oh, that wasn't so bad, but actually it didn't go far enough, and, you know, let's open it up a bit more. So normally there is that bit of a time lag, but I'm not sure that that's, you know, instrumental to what's needed. It was that the bill was too far ahead of public opinion.
Yes.
And if you're going to propose a referendum, you should put one forward that you know is going to win.
Okay.
And that question at the time it was put forward was only on about 28% in the most recent poll to that.
Yes.
So to think that, oh, we're suddenly going to win on a huge margin, you know, it was bloody good to get that to 49%, you know, but
now that we've,
you know, it should have been something that had a bit more consensus and a bit more widespread agreement, you know, from the beginning.
Now that medical's been around for a year or so, do you think it'll be a couple more years perhaps before we see some major or significant reform, or do you think it's going to slowly happen?
I think it's, you know, it's my hunch that if that same question was put now, it would probably pass.
Yes.
Whether it would pass overwhelmingly, I'm not sure if we've moved, you know, to that extent, but you know, ideally you'd learn a bit and you'd put forward something that as I say, you know, is going to win. But certainly this side of the election, I can't see anything happening. You know, the agenda's kind of done and dusted in terms of an election year. But what we can perhaps pressure them to come up with, you know, and really, when no matter, you know, when we look at all the mix of all the parties and the candidates and things, it's Labour being forced into it by the Greens or Te Māori, potentially top if they make it in.
Yes.
You know, that's the only way. The other guys, you might have private conversations with an MP or two who sympathises with the law change, but in terms of what they do in Parliament, it's nothing but obstacles and problems and getting in the way. And so if you want these laws changed, then in my mind, that's how we've got to do it.
Okay.
Is strengthen
put pressure
the
on them
Green and Māori Party strength in Parliament.
Okay. All right. Mm. Okay, what else is happening in the news, Chris?
Right. Well, okay. So they've been sniffing around people's poo. Let's just get straight to it. So the ESR, they have little filters and sampling things in sewage plants around the country, and their latest report of what goes on and what people deposit in their toilets and that they measure, what a fun job this must be, it's confirmed that we have these big differences around the regions that are potentially related to socio-economic things. So Northland is now, and unfortunately, sad to say, Northland's now the number one meth-using capital of New Zealand at almost a gram per day per 1,000 people, which is very sad to see. This time last year it was the East Coast, whereas Queenstown, it's MDMA, 71% of hard drugs detected in the wastewater, virtually undetected in Northland, for example. Auckland, the cocaine capital, and unfortunately cannabis doesn't show up in any of this because it's not water soluble, so it doesn't end up in the wastewater in these same kinds of ways that they can detect it. There are metabolites that would be excreted over time, but that's one of the things with cannabis. It's not water soluble, so it doesn't all, you know, go in the day or two after use. Mm-hmm. It hangs around for weeks or months. And so this sort of, it's a very blunt kind of measuring stick, but it does give you a few trends and things, certainly to do with these other drugs. But the same issue with why cannabis is not showing up in this wastewater and they don't get this good kind of data on it is why they haven't been able to find an accurate saliva testing device for drivers.
Yes.
And why that's all, you know, it's all kind of related.
Yes,
so,
And
this was confirmed, and again, just after last week's show, and I got to say, you know, we've been leading on this the last few weeks, but the police did confirm last Friday that they did have what they called a procurement process to try and find a device that would be that could accurately measure levels of drugs in drivers' saliva, and they weren't able to do that. This thing doesn't exist, and of course, this is what we and other people were telling them in our submissions on this last few years, but also very recently. So this is why the police have confirmed that this driver drug testing regime isn't going ahead as it was originally envisaged, but it's kind of a modified version of what you have now. So it's if the police suspect someone is impaired, it's a breath test first. If they pass the breath test but they still think you're on something, get out and walk the straight line and touch your nose and estimate 30 seconds, right? And that's called a field sobriety test or a compulsory impairment test, they call it here, just to call it something different. So there's that. And then if in the opinion of the officer you've failed that, then it's a blood test.
Okay.
So in the blood test, they have set these levels. and this is where it could get slightly problematic.
Yes.
You have two levels they've put. They've done this for a whole bunch of 25 different drugs they've put into the...
Loads of these are prescription, by the way.
Yes, so it's not just illicit drugs.
Most of them are prescription drugs.
Well, some of them are both. They're, yes, they're prescription drugs and they're controlled drugs, just like, yeah, cannabis can be.
Yeah.
So, and you do have a defence built into this. So if you're acting under your doctor's instructions, then you have a defence built into this new law that's passed. So, for example, if you've been prescribed medical cannabis and it says don't drive while impaired and you're not impaired, well, then these levels don't apply as such because, yes, you've got a defence to that.
Okay.
It's 1 nanogram per mil of blood, THC, is going to get you a fine and no driving for 12 hours and some demerit points. And 1 nanogram is, you know, a toke or two.
Mm-hmm.
3 nanogram is going to potentially lead to a prosecution and a criminal record. And certainly a lot of medical users or regular users would just be above that when they wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're impaired, but they're going to have those levels. So in Colorado, I think they set that at 5, or it might have been 6. So, yeah, you know, as a percentage-wise, it's quite a bit higher.
Why are we so much lower?
I can't get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
They formed this committee to try and recommend it all, and the committee basically came back and said it's too hard, and all these numbers just appear to be very kind of neat and even. Like, they've just kind of said them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Anyway, so... the good news is no widespread oral saliva testing, because that would have just been inaccurate and would have had lots of impaired people would have got away with it, and then vice versa, lots of innocent people would have been prosecuted. So overall, a bloody good thing.
All right, Chris, we've got a few more stories to track through.
Right. I was interested, there was a review in, this was Snoop Dogg's concert, I was interested what people's guesses were as to how much weed Snoop Dogg consumed while he was here. B, how does he get away with it? No.
Well, he could probably went and got a prescription, correct?
He might have got a prescription while he was here.
Yes.
In fact, probably did. Yeah. That would have been good planning from the promoter's point of view. But the review on Stuff said the concert fizzled because the crowd smoked too much weed.
Oh, whatever.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a load of bollocks.
Prince Harry, meanwhile, there's a whole bunch of medical-related shorts in this week's news. Prince Harry said medical marijuana helped him cope with mental trauma.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Chemist Warehouse this week announced, everyone's favourite pharmacy, I don't know. Chemist Warehouse announced, that wasn't a promo, by the way, that they are backing a medical cannabis venture over in Australia.
Yes.
This was reported on One News.
Okay.
Taking a 10% stake, so that's probably a good thing for terms of cost for patients and things.
Yep.
And, but they haven't said what that means for New Zealand yet. NZ Herald business section, and a thing called Markets with Madison, actually asked, well, are cannabis companies cutting it in New Zealand? And this was really interesting if you're into that kind of thing, of the dynamics of it and how it's actually working, which if you're a patient is relevant because it determines what products you're going to get and what they're going to cost. But she's kind of looking at a few of their figures and the sort of eye-watering losses that some of them are making. Are they actually going to cut it? So hopefully some of those changes we've talked about over the last few weeks that the government's going to do, and I'm pretty confident they will, they're actually going to make quite a big difference to local producers in terms of their viability. So the sooner that can happen, the better. What else? Oh, Cannabis, which is an Australian website, but it covers New Zealand too, they are launching some awards for the medical cannabis industry for Australia and New Zealand. Nominations are open now. It's all things like best company and, you know, so forth.
Yeah.
Best product launch, best, I don't know. It's kind of very business related. But I thought something more applicable might be, something like biggest inflated valuation or most losses made, worst shittiest plants grown. Anyway, I hate to end it on the sad note of how crap the local medical cannabis is, but I'm sure we'll get there eventually. Once they change these rules. Meanwhile, if we can just say, what will be fun coming up is J-Day. It's on 6th of May. It's not too far away now. It's always the first Saturday in May. And, come along. It's a great day to meet people and just enjoy the cannabis culture with your fellow culture enthusiast.
All right, Chris Fowley. Anything else happening at the hemp store that we need to know about?
Bro, we've had lots of stuff arrive. We've got the Whakaora oil back in stock and the Flawks. And if people know what that is, you know what it is. And lots of books and things have all come in this week as well. The Grow book, that book that we talked about that got unbanned a couple mm-hmm. months ago. So we've had that come in from America finally. So that's the Ed Rosenthal Cannabis Growers Handbook, which is a great book if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Excellent, Chris Fowley. Thank you very much, everyone. Check out the Hemp Store. You can shop online or go visit them on K Road.
Right on. See ya.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm a